The views and opinions expressed on this program do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of 580 WCHS, its employees, or WVRC Media. 580 Live is presented by Thornhill Automotive and is broadcast live from the Parmar Stores studio. From the studios of West Virginia Radio Corporation, the country, the United States of America, the state, West Virginia, the city, Charleston. This is 580 Live, and your host of 580 Live.
What we've got here is failure to communicate.
He's kind of a big deal.
I have come here to chew bubblegum and kick ass, and I'm all out of bubblegum.
Dave Allen.
Hey folks, good Monday morning to you. It's 580 Live at the voice of Charleston WCHS from the Parmar Stores studios. Here's Monument Hotline, 304-345-5858. Fruit Pharmacy text, 304-935-5008. Reminder, phone calls to 580 Live, a service of Sears Monument Company, offering quality memorials since 1911 with locations in Charleston, Huntington, Beckley, and Parkersburg. And our texting service is provided by Fruit Pharmacy, your hometown family pharmacy. Kayla Murphy serving as our producer today. Charleston-centric, the show is going to be today. We have with us, among other, we got a cast of, a cast of thousands, but we have a cast of three, not counting myself and Caitlin today. We have the chief of staff of the Goodwin administration, Mr. Matthew Sutton, with us for a portion of the show. Matt, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Dave. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. And we also have Tim Brady from the Charleston Convention Visitors Bureau. Good morning, sir.
Morning, Dave. How are you, brother?
I am doing fine. Thank you both for being here. I want to first start big announcement. We're going to get to that a little bit later on. Patrick Leahy from the Charleston Coliseum and Convention Center is going to join us. You just heard Kerry talking about a couple moments ago. Another big concert is coming to Charleston. Reba McEntire for the first time since 1998, I believe I heard. That's going to be a big show, man.
Yeah, it's going to be a great show. I mean, when we heard about it late last week, everybody just got excited. I mean, last time I saw Reba was probably 18 years ago. Mm-hmm. So super excited for it, especially, you know, coming off the heels of everything else over at the Coliseum and Convention Center. I mean, Chris Stapleton Saturday night, it was crazy over there. Mm-hmm. So it's just one big show after another that they keep booking over there. But Reba's hits a different mark. That's a different level of big, in my opinion.
Well, and Reba McEntire is one of those people that's been around, I mean, seemingly forever. I mean, she broke in like 1983, 84, I think, and she's never had a time that she wasn't a big deal. And again, Reba is somebody that people that maybe don't necessarily categorize themselves as country music fans like Reba, because her shows are so over the top. They're, you know, with the, you know, elaborate costume changes and everything, yeah. Much like this show.
I mean, yeah, absolutely.
And so I think that Reba is going to definitely going to pack a lot of people in there. Let me get the, and we'll talk about this with Patrick Leahy a little bit later on. It is going to be October the 20th at the Charleston Coliseum and Convention Center. First time since 1998 that Reba McEntire has played here, and tickets will go on sale this Friday, and we'll talk about that with Pat. But again, you know,
it's going to be huge. And I mean, I think if you're a live music fan and you've never seen Fancy performed live, you better buy your ticket, because it's one of those things that you definitely want to see. It's just one of those songs that you have to hear perform live. She's a tremendous artist. And to your point, she's been around for so long and never really lost her status. And it's just, again, it just keeps going on. I mean, I know, and Patrick will talk more about it later, but the booking they're doing at the Coliseum, the Convention Center with OVG360, when we brought them on right in the middle, right at the beginning of COVID, to run the Convention Center and to book it. You know, again, it's one of those things, too, where you take your best, you take the best advice you can get, you look around at what's going on, and you have to take a risk. And we took a risk with them, and it's absolutely worked out. I mean, you know, and Tim could talk a little bit more about it, but last fiscal year, $85 million in economic impact to the city of Charleston based on the events that were booked. They booked more in the municipal auditorium in a month than we were booking in the decade before. And it's just about having people who know what they're doing, utilizing it. And again, it's about bringing that energy to Charleston. And Reba just kind of is the cherry on top of that, coming off of record-setting Marches and Aprils. And I'm sure that the months following will be that way. But it really is what's been going on over there. I don't think if you're a fan of concerts, you've been paying attention to it, but I'm not sure everybody's been paying attention to it. So that's why the mayor and Patrick had the press conference this morning to sort of show everybody what exactly is happening over there, not only in the Coliseum and Convention Center side with the concerts and the events, but the sports tourism and then what's going on in the municipal auditorium.
Tim, you want to follow up on that?
Sure. And to Matt's point, it you see the concerts, right? Everybody sees Chris Stapleton was here on Saturday night. Everybody knew Morgan Wallen and Alabama were here in April. Yeah, but there's so much other stuff that goes on that OVG 360 has been integral in bringing and helping the CVB bring to Charleston. You know, we ran an 11-court basketball tournament in June. We can get 11 – actually, we can get 14 basketball courts under one roof. We ran 11 courts in June. We ran 8 volleyball courts. Next year, that same tournament is going to turn around and run 17 volleyball courts under one roof. So, you know, we see the concerts, but that economic impact is driven by a whole lot of other things. And the flexibility of that space, you know, now looking back, the $100 million that was invested in that building, paying dividends, because the flexibility of the space is a game changer for us. We can bring in boxing and volleyball and basketball and run multiple courts under one roof, and that drives hotel night stays and restaurant business and retail business in the city. So, you know, the concerts are great, and we love the concerts, mm-hmm. but there's also so much more to that economic impact number that Matt mentioned of $85 million last fiscal year.
Let's talk about Regatta. Has everybody started to rest up a little bit after the Regatta, Matt? We'll start with you.
Is it over? No, yeah.
Well, actually, Regatta 2023 has already started.
That's right.
I mean,
yeah.
You know, I understand when you're in the planning business, it probably started before the other one was over.
But, it was going on while we were having the event.
Yeah. But let's get your perspective on the Regatta. Go ahead.
No, I'm not sure. It's taken a little bit to sink in, kind of what the Regatta was over those 5 days. And I think that people, as we've started to really realize what happened, it was just, in my lifetime in professional career, I've never worked on anything bigger, and I've never worked on anything more important, and I've never worked on anything I've been prouder of. And this was an entire team effort. It took a tremendous vision from the mayor, and then a lot of people who were willing to take a lot of risks, and a lot of people who were willing to not hear no for an answer. And it really went really well. And I think credit to everybody involved. There were people who volunteered for 5 days who I'd never seen before. I didn't know who they were. They didn't work for the city. They just wanted to help. And they were there for 18 hours a day for 5 days to make this thing work. And when we think about, you know, we were asked right before we got in here how many people we thought. I'm not sure how many people I think were there. But what I know is that the people who were there had a tremendous time. I know that the restaurants that were in Charleston had the best week. I mean, Dino over at Adelphia said he has the best week he's had in 11 years since he's been open. And that's what this whole thing was about. It was about bringing people to Charleston, showing them what we have to offer. But I also think the most important thing about the Regatta in my vision, and Tim can probably expand on this a little bit, it's not a short play. This isn't a have a 5 days and bring people to town. This is about establishing what Charleston is. So the people that were here, or the people who are going to look about Charleston and see what it is, they're going to see the type of city that we are and the type of things that we can do. So it is about the people who were just kind of here, saw it, who then come back to Charleston. It's about the events who are going to say, okay, we can do this now. And that's really the long-term benefit of what the Regatta was. Over those last 5 days, it was a tremendous 5 days with hundreds of thousands of people who were sitting there spending money, enjoying themselves. Zero arrests, Dave. Zero arrests in 5 days with that many people there. We ran EMS calls that were mostly around heat related because mm-hmm. it was hot.
Oh yeah.
But you know, the community that came out, the people who came out, those 5 days were tremendous. But the benefit to us over the next 5 years about now what Charleston has established, when you think about what OVG is doing over at the Coliseum, the Convention Center. We had Festival, then you had Regatta, then you have what goes on at Power Park, you're going to have Multifest coming in. This is what Charleston is now, and I think that is what really is going to pay dividends to us long term.
Yeah, you know, Matt said it's a long-term prospect, and at our level at the CVB, we look at it as brand building, right? And I don't mean brand building like what's your logo. I mean like what are you as a city? What are you as a destination? And we are a fun city where you can come enjoy a riverfront atmosphere, live music, great food, and have a good time in a safe and walkable environment. That's our brand. And Regatta really put the capstone on what that brand is. And then you talk about all of the other events. You know, when we bring in meeting planners for site visits and we tell them, hey, every Friday night from Memorial Day to Labor Day, the city blocks off this boulevard and we have a free concert for however many people want to come out. They're surprised by that, but then they start to get it. Like that's who Charleston is. That's what we are as a destination. So for us, Regatta is really a big part of just continuing to build that brand of what we are as a destination.
And where do we go from here on Regatta? I mean, by all accounts, guys, it was a major success. And you didn't know going in when the announcements were first came out that Regatta was going to come back, and you know, and first one since 2009, and you know, are we going to have this? Are we going to have that? Where are we moving forward with Regatta, in your opinion, Matt?
So we start to plan for next year. I mean, I think that's what it is. I think the Regatta Commission will get together with the Stern Wheelers, and the first thing they've got to do is pick the date. And I think they're still having discussions about what that's going to look like. You know, we went with 4th of July. Historically, it was on Labor Day weekend, and that it all centers around what the Starnwheelers want. I mean, we've got 30 Starnwheelers here. I think that they all agree that the participation was tremendous, not only from the Starnwheel community, but from the community in general. So they're going to sit down over the next week or two and really decide what the date's going to be for next year. And then that'll dictate everything. But we're already planning. I mean, we have in the mayor's office, the mayor's already started. We've been brainstorming over the last few days, you know, everything that we saw that we need to improve on. And I think, again, as you're, and anybody who puts on events knows, it's not what happens behind the scenes, it's what happens in front of the house. And, you know, the people who are attending don't know what some of the issues were, but working behind the scenes to create that sort of after action plan that's, you know, now probably 6 pages long on our end of how we can do things better. And people, somebody said to me, it's like, well, I don't know how it can be any better. And I said, well, I promise you, it can get better. Yeah. It everything can. But at the same time, it's about really setting that date and then starting to move forward with what we're going to do for next year. And I think people are really excited.
But what you said is a testament, too, to the people that worked on the event this year. When you walk away from an event and you've got, you know, several pages of notes of what you can do better, and as an event planner, that's what you do. But when the feedback from the people who were just attending the event say, well, I don't know how it could get any better, that's a testament to the people that worked on it this year and the effort that went into making it a seamless and smooth and enjoyable experience for people in the front of the house.
It was not easy. Yeah. It was not easy. It was hot. It was complicated. There were a lot of moving parts, and it was the first time that the group of people who were involved had ever done anything like that.
And some of those people that were involved, you know, may not have been from Charleston, and many of them may have never even attended a regatta.
We had a lot of people who were saying,
and maybe that's not necessarily a bad thing.
It's not. No, it's not. I think, it takes everybody coming together, and it took a lot of people who were. And it was a mix of people who knew what the regatta was, who'd been in their kind of when they were growing up, that was it. People like me who kind of caught it as I was younger, but remember a little bit what it was, and people who have never been before who were coming together and saying, well, let's try this. And it took a lot of guts, and it took a lot of willing to take risks to see what was going to happen. And it worked out. And I think that's what it was. But I promise you, it didn't work out by accident. It worked out by a lot of people working really hard to make sure that everything went smoothly. And when those bands hit the stage each night, those crowds, I mean, I remember looking at Tina Stinson on Thursday night, looking at the Everclear crowd and just shaking my head, being like, I can't believe how many people are here. Mm-hmm. I mean, I couldn't believe it on a Thursday night, how many people came out for the Everclear concert. And then that only built every single night after that. And it just kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And then, you know, culminating with the fireworks on Sunday, it's the thing in my career I'm the most proud of being a part of, and just having a small part of it. But it really taking stock in it, it was a tremendous event for the city of Charleston. And it's why we worked so hard over the last 3 years to really put ourselves in a position where we could do this, and really proud of it.
And Tim, I know we don't have economic data available yet, and that will come in the, but any ballparks or anything that you'd like to throw out there?
You know, I don't want to get into the business of throwing out ballpark numbers. I'd okay. much rather wait. But yeah, I can say this. You know, Matt and I talked a lot about this leading into the event. And, you know, we were putting out economic impact projections, you know, 8 months ago as this started to come together. And we based that on some conservative attendance estimates. And, you know, I can remember the conversation where we said, you know, I think we'd get 5,000 or 6,000 people to come out every night over five nights. I think we hit that on night one, right? Like, yeah. I think you look at, you know, 5,000 people a night over five nights, 25,000 people. You got that in one evening. So I don't want to throw out ballpark numbers, right, but what I'm going to say is it's going to be big, because we had 3 to 4 times the number of people that we thought we might have coming to regatta.
And I think, too, I mean, we look at the numbers of people who are there, and we base it on what we see sort of in the photos of of the concerts. But Dave, it was packed all day long, every day.
That's right.
Monday was not as crowded as the rest of the day because people were spending time with family, things like that. But Thursday started off a little bit slow, but then came in. But then Friday, all day at the Carnival Rides, all day at Magic Island. We had Saturday. If you were in City Center and Slack Plaza during the Regatta rerun, it was one of the most fun times I've had an event in a long time. And I was literally sitting there delivering ice on a golf cart. And I was like, I'm going to stop for a minute and have some fun here. And then the funeral parade, and it just kept – it's almost hard to imagine, because even the way that they set up the stage, right, for the concerts. If we think just about the concerts, you could see the people watching the concerts, but you couldn't see the 2,000 people standing on Capitol Street watching the screen, or even the 3,000 to 4,000 people sitting on Haddad watching the screen over there. But the entirety of the event, I mean, the carnival rides, but the key was hearing from the vendors. And I think the Charleston Gazette did an article where they talked mostly to the vendors of how much that they did. But we had vendors that were running out of food, and so many of them were running out of food that Charleston was running out of food. So they were driving to Beckley to be able to go to Kroger to be able to buy hot dog buns and hamburger buns in order to be there. There was the folks from Them Two Brothers, they I'm surprised they're still walking. They were so tired. You kind of looked at them, they're like, oh, another
they're
day.
Down to one brother now.
Yeah, exactly. But it was just, it was one of those things too, where it was so much going on and so much excitement. People were having so much fun. The fact that people were willing to wait 45 minutes in line for ribbon fries just showed me how much fun everybody was.
Well, it is ribbon fries, though.
Well, that's fair, I understand, especially if you put a little bit of cheese on top of it.
Exactly. Yeah. Everything's good with cheese. Matt, I know you have to leave us, but I did have a couple of text questions that came in for you. Can you hang with us through the break, and we'll come back when we have Matt Sutton here. We get Tim Brady from the Charleston CVBs here, and Patrick Leahy from the Coliseum and Convention Center is going to join us in just a bit as well. 580 Live brought to you by the Thornhill Auto Group. It's red, white, and vroom on the Thornhill Motor Mile. More vehicles, more lenders, more options, and more coverage now available at Thornhill. Don't miss the red, white, and vroom sale. Shop anytime online, thornhillautomotive.com. From the Parmar Store Studio, it's 580 Live at the Voice of Charleston, WCHS.
Brought to you by the Eric J. Tarr Family Businesses. Eric J. Tarr Family Businesses care for your family.
It's time for a celebration. It's Red, White, and Vroom on the Thornhill Motor Mile.
Hey, it's Sydney inviting you to check out summer savings on our entire inventory at the Thornhill Motor Mile.
We've got your keys to summer with more vehicles, more lenders, more options, more coverage, more for your trade, and no payments for 90 days.
Plus available 0% APR on most new models.
It's a celebration of family fun and the fourth this summer with Thornhill Automotive.
No matter what summer adventure you have planned, we have the vehicles to get you there.
Don't miss Red, White, and Vroom on the Thornhill Motor Mile.
Shop online anytime at thornhillautomotive.com.
With approved credit, must qualify for all for C-Door. For all details.
When you're hungry, head to local Pizza Favorites Pepperoni Grill and let them satisfy your cravings. Take a bite out of their low-carb cauliflower crust pizza, available in both small and large. Or grab a special featuring two large two-topping pizzas and a cheese spread to feed a family for only $20.99. And don't forget, Pepperoni Grill is not just pizza. They have delicious barbecue, including tasty pulled pork, ribs with all the fixings, and tasty West Virginia hot dogs. Visit Pepperoni Grill in Kanawha City today or order online at pepperonigrills.com.
Some X's are a real pain in the backside, but Omega Commercial Interiors has the X that's all about stress-free comfort. Hi, I'm David McCormick, owner of Omega Commercial Interiors, and I'm talking about the amazing X chair. Infinite recline, dynamic variable lumbar support, and available heat and massage make the X chair a customer favorite. Omega Commercial Interiors has X chairs in stock and ready to ship. The X chair is the X you'll love to see every day. Learn more at OmegaCommercialInteriors.com.
Your Putnam County Assessor's Office is mandated to ensure your real estate is evaluated properly and fairly. This year, their field personnel will be in Buffalo, Eleanor, Polka, and Union District to revisit homeowners. They will be in marked vehicles and will have photo ID and business cards. Again, that's the Buffalo, Eleanor, Polka, and Union District areas. If you have any questions about this process, visit their website at PutnamCOAssessor.com. That's PutnamCOAssessor.com.
Presented by RX Bytel Pharmacy, your neighborhood pharmacy on Charleston's west side. Proud to bring you RX Bypack, a pre-filled pouch system which divides your tablets and capsules into multiple day doses perfectly matched to your doctor's instructions. Learn more at RxBytel.com.
926, Sears Monument Hotline, 304-345-5858. Fruit Pharmacy text 304-935-5008. Your Parmar stores would like to invite all the golfers to take part in the 32nd annual Brian Joswiak Joe's Knows Kids Legends Golf Classic. It's happening this Thursday through Saturday in Morgantown. Now, things begin Thursday night with food fellowship and a live auction at Tropics in Morgantown. Friday, the golf outing at Lakeview Resort in Morgantown, followed by the awards dinner and music from the Marshall Lowry Band and Bridget's Cross at the Lake House. Then on Saturday, fishing at Cheat Lake. All proceeds benefit WVU Medicine Children's Hospital. For more, visit Joe's Knows Kids Legends Golf Classic on Facebook. It's brought to you by Pepsi and Parmar Stores. If there's not a Parmar store near you now, there will be soon. Goodwin Administration Chief of Staff Matt Sutton is with us. Tim Brady from the Charleston CVB is in studio with us as well. They're open to take your phone calls, talking regatta and anything else Charleston related. Sears Monument Hotline, 304-345-5858. Fruit Pharmacy text, 304-935-5008. Patrick Leahy is going to join us from the Charleston Coliseum and Convention Center. You know, he's going to be on in the next segment, and apparently there's not only one, I learned indirect, but two concert announcements or two event announcements. We'll talk to Patrick about that. Do have a text we want to get to. Matt, we'll let you address this one. Dave, concerning the user fee, I've been seeing a lot of neighborhood roads being paved in Charleston, but none really that users would use to get to work. Ask your guest why this is happening and why we are paying the user fee.
Well, I mean, I think that when you think about paving roads, roads and infrastructure are all about economic development. And what you want when you're paving roads, first of all, neighborhood roads need paved as well. And not all city paving projects are done with user fee money. But one of the most important things is think about the real estate business. When you want people to move to Charleston, you need to have roads that are very good condition, that are acceptable for people. And if you're coming and you're moving to Charleston, whether you're here for a job or you're here just to move, and you drive on a road, a lot of potholes and things, you might not want to live on that particular road. So it's a big picture about economic development. But we're spending more on paving this year. We're going to cross over $3 million. And over the last 3 years, we've spent close to, we're working to get close to $10 million in paving between asphalt and concrete, which has just been a tremendous investment that the mayor's put in. So paving is a big picture game as well. And when we're paving residential roads, it's not only for the livability of the people who are here in the city of Charleston, because most people who live here work here as well, but it's also about that economic development. I think when we hear from the real estate folks, they want roads that are paved in communities so people want to live there.
Tech says, great to see that the regatta was a success, but has any thought been given to the mayor brainstorming about violent crime? 3 shootings in 3 consecutive nights. Hashtag West Side Matters.
Well, I think that there has been a lot of thought in violent crime every single day in our office. And I'm not sure three shootings in 3 nights is quite accurate. We have some incidences, but I think if you look across the country, gun violence is up, as you see, and it's something that we have to deal with as a society. But I think in all of those incidences as well, as the Charleston Police Department has made arrests in all the gun crimes we've had over the last couple of weeks. Luckily, nobody people get injured in those crimes. We haven't had any fatalities, but it is one of those things to where, the Charleston Police Department is working as hard as they can, but the key is the arrest in it. I mean, when you have people who just, if you go out to fight and somebody brings a gun, it's likely somebody's going to end up getting shot. But the important part is the police department makes an arrest, and they've done a heck of a job. I've been listening and reading all across the country about unsolved gun crimes, and the gun rate, especially gun violent crimes, end up about 50% solve rate. The Charleston Police Department's at about 90% solve rate on our gun crimes that they have. So we have a great police department that goes at it. But we work about it every day, but we really have to, as a society, not just as a city government, but as a society, look at how we're going to handle these gun crimes. I mean, they're going on all across the country, and we've got to figure this thing out because it's dangerous, and people are scared and have a right to be. The use of a gun can't be the first reaction every time we want to do it.
Speaking of which, from the Fruit Pharmacy text line, somebody asked a question here about a gun being fired at the regatta. Was no one arrested there?
There was no gun fired at the regatta.
Okay. End of story then.
Yeah. I mean, nobody was arrested because there was no gun fired. I mean, it was, we had, and I think the biggest thing that I want to point out about the regatta as it comes to security is that not only was the Charleston Police Department have a presence, but we had great assistance from the Capitol Police and from the Kanawha County Sheriff's Department. And that just shows, again, as a law enforcement community, how important the success of the events are and the success of the regatta was. So it wasn't just the Charleston Police Department. If you turn around, there were Capitol Police there. There were Kanawha County Sheriff's Office there helping out. There was the Charleston Fire Department. There was a Kanawha County Ambulance Authority that was there as well. So we had our support of the entire community as it relates there. But there was no gunshot at the regatta.
Tex says, Caitlin just played Ride the Freaking Lightning on your show, Dave. Ride the Lightning just came on your show. I nearly ran off the road. Ride the Lightning, the regatta. We're in the Wayback Machine. I love it. So
Heck yeah!
Big props here to producer Caitlin for that. Let me talk about let's go back to the regatta for a moment, guys. You know, you talked about an after action plan. What were some of the things that you looked at? I'm not trying to be negative here, but what were some of the things that you looked at that you thought, okay, maybe we could have done this a little bit differently. Maybe we will do this differently going forward. Or anything comes off the top of your head?
I think a lot of it was logistics. A lot of it was, you know, just being able to maneuver around the regatta crowd. And I think a lot of it was from a logistics perspective, where things were set up, where stuff was. You know, the first night we had our, you know, our Coke and our water products in one part of the area, but we were trying to get to it to be able to deliver to vendors, right? We fixed that real quick. So it's stuff like that. Where a lot of it is logistics that's behind the scenes that was there. It was kind of just the general setup of where people were compared to where the crowds were, how you set up vendors beside each other, things like that. But it's really all kind of behind the scenes. The beer festival, which was Thursday night, which was extremely successful, blew out our wildest dreams. But we also had a parking garage right there, right? So it was bigger than what we thought it was, which meant people had a hard time getting in and out of the parking garage. So it's stuff like that where it's really about figuring out and then looking to see what worked and what didn't work, right? I mean, you know, the wiener dog races, which I didn't get to go down to because I didn't get to go on Magic Island, were just a tremendous – you were down there, I think. Tim was there. Yeah, so
– great crowd.
Yeah, so blowing that up a little bit more next year. What events worked, what didn't work, and what we moved forward.
And that's true of any festival. And, Tim, you've been involved in this stuff in the past. A large event of any kind. I mean, I've done it over in Putnam County where I live. I'm on several committees over there. And you sit back, okay, this didn't work. Okay, right. This did work. We can do this differently.
And then you look at it and say, did it not work because it's just not popular and we shouldn't expend the energy and resources on it next year, or did it not work because we should have done something differently? So I think even with the things that didn't work, you look at it and say, why? Mm-hmm. And I think that's kind of where we are now with some of the events with Regatta as well.
And I think it's taking community input and taking vendor input to see what can be smoother. And, you know, I'm not sure how we get bigger, right? I'm not sure how we have more people, but it is things. I mean, you know, we had 5 days, we had Magic Island where we had inflatables and kids games and a lot of free stuff for kids to do and families to do. Well, having that Thursday midday when people are still at work, maybe we don't need to do that, right? So it's just looking at it next year and being able to see what is it that worked and didn't work, and then what would people like to see added? I mean, I also, and I'll put a plug in because the events continue, but you know, this week is the Charleston Public Courts Tennis Tournament, which has come back for the first time since COVID, since 2019. And shout out to Nate Burton with West Virginia State and Roy Isaac and George Bashar and Dave Stacey, who were adamant in bringing this thing back for our tennis community. But when I went to go play tennis last night, I wasn't prepared to play tennis last night in that heat. But when I went to play tennis last night, they were talking about, well, how do we get tennis back into the regatta? Because we used to have a tennis tournament. So it is taking that community input that we need and seeing what we can add to it. What we can add, what we can subtract, and what we can make a better experience for everyone.
Any thoughts on the dates for next year? You kind of alluded to it earlier, and I know that's still kind of up in the air because originally it was said that it wasn't around the Labor Day holiday as it's been in the past because of some other scheduling things, and they went, and so the decision was made to the 4th. I was under the impression that it was probably going to go back, but now after the fact, maybe not. Where are we on the dates?
I think the thought was that nobody was quite sure about how the participation with the Sternwheelers would be and how the attendance would be on the 4th of July. Well, we all knew what Labor Day weekend was. We thought we knew because of what had happened in the past. And then we got there and we saw the participation in the Sternwheelers and the crowd that we had. It's going to be between the 4th of July and Labor Day weekend. I mean, I think that it's the Regatta Commission is going to meet over the next week or two and sit down with the Sternwheelers and figure out what's the best thing to do. There are a lot of different options between pros and cons between both dates. So I think within the next, you know, by sometime in August, they'll be ready to announce a date for next time so that people can prepare. But I think it was a lot of, hey, we'll move it back to Labor Day, was just saying, well, we've done it before then. We'll try it at 4th of July. And it worked. And I think a lot of Sternwheelers, the feedback to us was, this worked. This actually works better for us. Let's keep it here. But I think they're having those discussions amongst themselves, as is the Regatta Commission.
Well, and you have to kind of weigh in the calendar situation there, too, because this year, you know, 4th of July fell on a Monday. Well, there's going to be a time when 4th of July falls on a Wednesday.
Chasing that date is tough, and we've talked a lot about that. I mean, you know, on a Tuesday, you can probably move it to Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, too, right? You could figure out that. But that Wednesday, 4th of July would be tough. But I think so much of the regatta is built around and should be built around the sternwheel boats. And if they say, we want to do it this weekend, then that's probably where we're going to be, just because that's the biggest attraction to this and the whole reason why the event exists. So we'll take that feedback and take the community feedback, because we've had a lot of folks say keep it there, because when it was on when it used to be on Labor Day, when I was growing up, school hadn't started yet, right? Because it was, you'd have that, and then school would start. Mm-hmm. Well, now school's starting, and before that happened, so it's a different.
It starts in June, yeah, I think, now, or something ridiculous like that.
Well, and then Labor Day, you bump up against Mountaineer football, Marshall football. Mm-hmm. This competition for attendance and eyeballs is probably radically different between July 4th and Labor Day.
Yeah, we saw that on Live 11. We pushed it back last year because of COVID, and we had a start date. And we said, we'll just go in October. And then running Friday nights against high school football was just a bad idea. I mean, it wasn't a bad idea. We did the best we could, but we knew that wasn't going to work.
But high school football is what it is in West Virginia, especially in the Kanawha Valley, when you have so many teams here. Tim, economics, let's go back to the economy for a moment. What did you hear from the businesses as far as, we would like to see maybe this done or that done? What did you hear from them?
You know, oddly enough, there hasn't been a lot of that. There hasn't been a lot of, I'd like to see it done. The feedback in the last week has been, this was a great week of business. The restaurants, as Matt alluded to, Dino at Adelphia, the best week he's ever had. We haven't heard a lot of negative feedback from the local business community. And I can tell you, hotel occupancy was at 85% going into the weekend. I would imagine that we'll be as close to 100% as one could possibly get when it comes to hotel occupancy for that 5-day stretch. The hotels were happy. The restaurants were happy. Retail owners that I've talked to were happy. The feedback has been so positive coming out of this that it's almost startling because you don't really expect 100% positive feedback, mm-hmm. but it's been close to that.
Well, I can tell you, as somebody who sits in this host chair 5 days a week, and the nature of talk radio is negative, no matter what the subject is, I haven't seen a lot, and I read each and every text on the air, and I've not seen a lot. Me knocking a couple texts because, Matt, I know you had to go. Regatta could use a fishing tournament for those in boats and shore fishermen.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, I think it's about taking that kind of input. And people, feel free to reach out to the mayor's office via email or telephone and call us if you've got those ideas. That's a great idea. I don't know anything about fishing tournaments, but I'm sure there's somebody in town that does that could help us put one on.
Chris Lawrence.
There you go.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Knock that one out.
Yeah. Right down the hall. Text says, please ask Matt, is there any chance you can run it later than 9:30 next year? I think it makes us look really backwards to have a great big event like this and everything shuts down at 9:30 at night.
Well, I disagree. I think that shutting it down early is what helps keep down a lot of the issues that happened in the past. We're able to get people home. It's also people who go to work the next day mm-hmm. can still come to a concert, see it to the very end, get out of the crowd and park. But then let's remember, it doesn't stop at 9:30. It goes to, go over to Bar 101 and see what was going on. Go to Capitol Street and the Summer Street and then see that the restaurants that were able to. So it did not stop. But I think that's the ideal. And also, remember, we have people who now live downtown.
Yeah, that was going to be my point, yeah.
And so we don't want to go too late. But I think we found the sweet spot. I really do.
And from a tourism perspective, the 9:30 stop time is good because what we want is people, as to Matt's point, go to Bar 101. We want you to go out. Mm-hmm. When it ends at 9:30, you can still go out and eat. Most of the restaurants stay open until 10 or 10:30 in the kitchen. So go spend money. That's what we want.
Yeah, I mean, I think that was a gift. You kept, and it didn't end. I mean, the concert ended, but the food vendors were still open. Like I said, people were standing in line until 10:30 looking for ribbon fries. They were clearly out.
Carnival rides went till 10.
Carnival rides went out. So we found the sweet spot there. So I don't think we'll look for that because I think that was a lot of what helped keep it going.
Yeah. Matt, it's always a pleasure to have you on the show. I know you got to go. I appreciate
you being
here, man.
Yeah, let me get one little plug in too, if I can. So, if you're a fan of tennis, tonight at the Schoenbaum Tennis Courts in Kanawha City, beside the Kanawha City Rec Center, Charleston Public Courts is going on. And there have been people who've been playing this event for 20 years who swear that tonight is probably the best lineup of tennis from 5 p.m. to 10 p.m. in terms of competitive tennis that you're going to see. So if you're a fan of tennis, come out to the Schoenbaum Tennis Courts in Kanawha City. The organizers of the event, West Virginia State University, and a lot of volunteers. They got food trucks out there. They'll have food vendors and a lot of great tennis to come out and support. So just wanted to plug that because the events don't just happen in downtown. They happen throughout our entire city, and it's a great event. It's a tremendous community event. And I'm so happy that West Virginia State took it on so that we can continue it.
Yeah. All right, man. Appreciate it, man. Thank Thanks a lot.
All right. Thank you all.
It's Matt Sutton, who is the Chief of Staff for the Goodwin Administration. It's 19 minutes away from 10. 580 Live is brought to you in part by the Charleston Dirty Birds, your hometown baseball team. Visit dirtybirdsbaseball.com for all of the exciting stuff going on there. Speaking of exciting stuff, big concert announcement coming. Actually, maybe two coming to the Charleston Coliseum and Convention Center. And we're going to talk to Patrick Leahy up next, and Tim Brady's hanging around as well. Sears Monument Hotline, 304-345-5858. Fruit Pharmacy text, 304-935-5008. From the Parmar Store Studio, it's 580 Live and a Voice of Charleston, WCHS.
Brought to you by the Eric J. Tarr Family Businesses. Eric J. Tarr Family Businesses have been creating jobs in West Virginia since 1997.
It's time for a celebration. It's Red, White, and Broom on the Thornhill Motor Mile.
Hey, it's Sydney inviting you to check out summer savings on our entire inventory at the Thornhill Motor Mile.
We've got your keys to summer with more vehicles, more lenders, more options, more coverage, more for your trade, and no payments for 90 days.
Plus available 0% APR on most new models.
It's a celebration of family fun and the fourth this summer with Thornhill Automotive.
No matter what summer adventure you have planned, we have the vehicles to get you there.
Don't miss Red, White, and Broom on the Thornhill Motor Mile.
Shop online anytime at thornhillautomotive.com.
With approved credit, must qualify for all for Thornhill. For all details.
Quality that's through the roof.
T-Bay Roofing is now your certified GAF Master Elite Contractor for the Kanawha Valley. That means when T-Bay installs your new GAF roofing system, it comes with a GAF Golden Promise warranty for up to 50 years. And it's even transferable once to the next homeowner.
Quality that's through the roof.
Put your trust in the Kanawha Valley's premier roofing contractor. Get started with a free call to 844-PRO-ROOF, and T-Bay will get you a free estimate within 24 hours. Remember, each T-Bay roof comes with a GAF Golden Pledge warranty for up to 50 years. That's 844-PRO-ROOF, and find out more at tbayroofing.com.
Quality that's through the roof.
Oil investments involve a high degree of risk and actual results may vary.
Oil keeps going up as the Russia conflict escalates. Help the U.S. with your patriotic investment that can potentially pay you monthly income for up to 20 or more years. If you're an SEC-accredited investor, you can take advantage of Encore Energy's projects. The U.S. government needs your investment in oil and is allowing you to write off nearly 100% of your investment in the first year. Call 800-278-7455. 800-278-7455.
Presented by RX Bytel Pharmacy, your neighborhood pharmacy on Charleston's West Side. Proud to bring you RX Bypack, a pre-filled pouch system which divides your tablets and capsules into multiple day doses perfectly matched to your doctor's instructions. Learn more at rxbytel.com.
Sixty minutes away from 10, Sears Monument Hotline, 304-345-5850 at Food Pharmacy Text, 304-935-5008. 580 Live brought to you in part by Hudson's Pizza. Well, this month you can get any regularly priced 18-inch pizza and get a 2-liter Pepsi at no additional charge. Visit hudsonspizza.com for more details. Caitlin Murphy serving as our producer today. Again, the hotline number for Sears Monument Hotline, 304-345-5850 at Food Pharmacy Text, 304-935-5008. Matt Sutton from the Goodwin Administration Chief of Staff has been with us. Matt had to exit. Tim Brady from the Charleston CVB is with us in studio. And we welcome in Patrick Leahy with OVG Facilities, a company that pretty much runs things at the Coliseum and Convention Center. Patrick, good morning and welcome to the show. It's your debut on the show. Welcome, sir.
Yeah, good morning. Thanks. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for being here. Well, before we get to a big announcement, which actually the announcement came out about an hour to two ago, I have to say, and Tim, I can kind of get your feeling this as well, judging from my social media this weekend, I may have been the only person in America that was not at the Chris Stapleton show.
There's two of us, okay, because I wasn't there either.
I have seen Chris Stapleton in the past, though. Yeah, he's a fantastic performer. Yep. I mean, he really, really is. But Patrick, it was, and of course, the weather wasn't the best in the world. I saw pictures of people, you know, standing out in the rain, you know, for the party. We were down there. Our station's 107.3 was down there. But it was a good night.
It was fun. It was a big night, big crowd. We sold every single ticket.
Wow.
It doesn't happen often.
Mm-hmm.
We've had it happen 8 times in the last fiscal year, and we started off this fiscal year, July 1, and with a sellout. So this is a great market. It's a great concert market. I think it always has been. You can look back into the history. We're not doing something that hasn't happened here for years. In the 80s, it was every big rock band, every big show, played this market.
Yeah, you're exactly right. So, and there's about to be a true musical icon making her return to the Coliseum Convention Center in the month of October for the first time since 1998, Reba McEntire. Talk about that.
Yeah, how fantastic is that? Since 1998, to think that she hasn't played live here, over 30 recorded albums since 98, 126 singles that she's put out. I mean, she's a Hall of Famer, right? Kind of a must-see, commands the stage and the presence, and I've never heard anybody say it wasn't a good show. Mm-hmm. Talking with someone earlier this morning at the press conference who flew to Oklahoma to see her. She's a big fan, but
obviously
flew to Oklahoma to see her, where she's from, so I'm sure it was probably a special time.
I had the privilege of seeing Reba McEntire in the early 90s on an airfield at Camp Lejeune. It was a free show, a free military show, and I had some friends that and family that lived down there, and we got passes onto the base. Amazing performer, and it's a spectacle. And you said it earlier, Dave. You know, you talk about certain performers, whether you're a country music fan or not. You first of all, you know Reba McEntire songs, and second of all, you are going to be captivated by just the sheer presence that she brings to the stage. And you know, Matt's point, if you've never seen Fancy live, you really need to be there to see it. Do that with about 25,000 Marines for a free show on an airbase. It was amazing. If there had been a roof over the airfield, they would have blown it off, but it was an outdoor show. I'm really excited for Reba McEntire, and Patrick and I have talked about concerts before, so he knows for me to say that I'm excited about something really means something. Yeah, I can't wait to see Reba. Can't wait.
The show's going to be October the 20th at the Coliseum Convention Center. Tickets go on sale this Friday. What are you doing now with OVG facilities, Patrick, to get these major people to want to come to Charleston? I mean, you know, and you said Charleston has always been an iconic place for concerts, but maybe over the last couple of years it maybe wasn't what it used to be. But it seems like it's starting to. I mean, there is no bigger star in the world right now than Chris Stapleton. I mean, and to have him there, and on the country charts, Morgan Wallen. I mean, Morgan Wallen is just. I mean, he's off the charts, no pun intended. And of course, the iconic Reba McEntire. What is it that you are doing to get these people to want to come to Charleston again?
You know, Brooks and Dunn sold out as well.
Yes,
crazy, right? Tim knows, he's seen when we've been on when we first got here and COVID and Zoom calls. First thing I did was I changed the background screensaver into a map that shows the highway routing from all the markets 360 degrees around the city. And I spent a lot of time with the agents, artist agents, and the promoters, who many times control a lot of the shows, and pointed out you can't not go through Charleston. You can avoid it by going around it, but why? Why not? You're not killing another date. You're not killing a Pittsburgh, a Cleveland, a Pittsburgh, or a Cincinnati, or a Louisville, Lexington. So you can play all those dates. And for the touring industry, the biggest component is efficiency. We all know gas is expensive, trucking is expensive, labor is expensive. And if they can pick up a solid date, and quite frankly, we've been fortunate. We have good marketing partners. We're market shows. We've got a great concert market, I think. And they're buying tickets, and success kind of feeds success, right? It's like you were talking in the earlier hour. You do these events, and they're successful, and people want to keep coming, and they want more, and you just keep building upon it. And that's kind of the approach we've taken. And you don't get anywhere by yourself, right? So we have really good promoter partners. We have, you know, I have really good agency relationships from being in this business for a long time. I mean, I was pointing out that I think the night the lights went out in Georgia, that was like the first Reba song I can remember being a really big hit. And that was probably, what, 30-some years ago, showing my age. But, you know, our partnership with the CVB, the city, our engagement across the board, that's really kind of part of it. That's really what helps. So, again, marketing the fact that this is not, we're not in flyover country. We're in truck routable country.
Go ahead, Tim, and then we have a phone call to get to.
So sure. To your point about partnerships, Patrick, tell the story about how Alabama ended up here the night before Morgan Wallen, because that's, I think, illustrates the relationship nature of this business.
Yeah, I was actually in the airport, in an airport, I can't remember, we're changing flights, and I get a call from one of the promoters who we do a lot of business with, and he says, hey, I need a favor. I'm like, what's that? He goes, got this Alabama date that was postponed from COVID, was supposed to be in another market. They can't play the date because they don't have the availability. Any chance you have the availability on, I guess it was like the 14th, 13th.
April 14th.
April 14th. And I said, yeah, I looked and I said, yeah. I said, I've got Morgan Wallen the next day, but it's sold out. That money's already sort of off the table. Maybe a little bit different audience. I said, if you're willing to do it, we're willing to do it. Like we've got skin in the game. I'll roll the dice on that. Alabama's an iconic brand. And sure enough, went out and it filled the house. And then the next day we did Morgan Wallen. So it was a pretty busy weekend, but it was successful. And it's what's led to our growing the business and setting some of these records that we've been able to establish and then reestablish. And I think that's just a reflection of the marketplace being positive about going to shows and doing stuff and being out and about. It's a very sort of active community.
8 minutes away from 10. Let's grab this phone call. Mike, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I just had a quick question. What can be done to get more rock acts here into Charleston instead of all the country acts? Not complaining, but just the country acts are fine. But what can you guys do to maybe draw some more rock acts into town? And I'll shut up and let you guys answer.
All right, Mike, we appreciate it. Go ahead.
Well, stay tuned. I'll say that to start.
Yep.
You know, it's interesting. The country business works more like everybody's regular business. They work year-round. They plan year-round. They schedule year-round. They work 2-3 years in advance. So the country segment is much more organized in that regard. Rock tends to be a little more fluid. The album ready? Is it not ready? We're getting ready to announce something, but they're just still waiting on the album to get produced. So that
country stars almost never stop performing.
They work year round. In fact, most of the people that work for the country artists work full time as employees, whereas in some of the other genres, it's kind of stop and start, right? But Shinedown was a good example of a quality rock show that played the market. Again, another full house. Judas Priest, that's a little bit older rock market. In terms of audience appeal. But make no mistake, we're working on every genre because from my standpoint, I've come out of the concert business for years, spent some time in the performing arts world. And in the Performing Arts Center world, you program, right? We call it programming versus booking in the concert side. And you program to your community. So we're trying to reflect back things to the community that the community wants to see. And rock is certainly one of them. But it's not the only one. We've got comedy we've been successful at. We've got some R&B shows that have been successful and one next week. We have a lot of kid family shows we've done really well with. And I
want to talk about that too when we come back. Okay. I unfortunately got to hit this break, but we'll talk about that when we come back. But I think what I took from that statement for Mike, our caller, is stay tuned when it comes to rock shows. All right, take a break. We're back after this from the Parmar Store Studio. It's 580 Live at the Voice of Charleston, WCHS.
Brought to you by the Eric J. Tarr Family Businesses. Eric J. Tarr Family Businesses are small businesses with big impact, including Generations Physical Therapy and Snap Fitness.
It's time for a celebration. It's Red, White, and Broom on the Thornhill Motor Mile.
Hey, it's Sydney inviting you to check out summer savings on our entire inventory at the Thornhill Motor Mile.
We've got your keys to summer with more vehicles, more lenders, more options, more coverage, more for your trade-in, no payments for 90 days.
Plus available 0% APR on most new models.
It's a celebration of family fun and the 4th this summer with Thornhill Automotive.
No matter what summer adventure you have planned, we have the vehicles to get you there.
Don't miss Red, White, and Vroom on the Thornhill Motor Mile.
Shop online anytime at thornhillautomotive.com.
With approved credit, must qualify for offer. See Thornhill for all details.
Trading in your business fleet or personal vehicle for a new one? Donate your used vehicle to Good News Mountaineer Garage and get the best tax deduction possible and the satisfaction of knowing your donation changed the life of someone in need. Good News Mountaineer Garage repairs donated vehicles and provides them to qualified West Virginia families, giving them access to employment, safe, affordable housing, health care, and other vital necessities, and putting them on the road to economic independence. Call 1-866-GIVE-CAR today for Good News Mountaineer Garage. 866-GIVE-CAR.
Poca Valley Bank, your community bank, is ready to serve you for all of your banking and financial needs. Poca Valley Bank has been serving customers in your community since 1908. Stop by one of their 8 convenient locations in Elkview, Sissonville, Poca, Winfield, Glendenin, Spencer, Walton, and now Kanawha City, and let them become your community bank. Visit Poca Valley online at pocavalleybank.com to learn more about their personal and business services. Poca Valley Bank, where relationships matter. Member FDIC.
Presented by RX by Tel Pharmacy, your neighborhood pharmacy on Charleston's West Side. Proud to bring you RX by Pack, a pre-filled pouch system which divides your tablets and capsules into multiple day doses perfectly matched to your doctor's instructions. Learn more at rxbytel.com.
4 minutes away from 10, final week for you to register to win the 1,000 gallons of free gas. The WCHS network station and all of our sister stations as well are teaming up with Todd, Judy Ford to give away 1,000 gallons of free gas. You can register at a number of places. All that's available on our social media. The deadline is this Sunday to register, and 5 finalists will be chosen to join us and Todd, Judy Ford to see who wins. That'll be at the Patrick Street location on July 30th. We got Patrick Leahy from OVG Facilities with us. Also, we've got our good friend Tim Brady from the Charleston Convention and Visitor Bureau. We were talking about booking things at the Coliseum Convention Center. And Patrick, not to be, and we talked about country, we talked about rock, but there's a lot of family things for the kids going on there as well.
Yeah, we've had a lot of success with it between Cocomelon, right? If you've got toddlers, it's like silly viewership online. I mean, silly. We have won 6 shows in the U.S. So wow. It was really nice to land that, and was sold out. This morning at 8 o'clock, we announced Blues, Clues, and You live on stage at the Municipal Auditorium. And so, again, still strong quality brands. There's another family show, kid show, I'll call it a kid show, that we'll announce here soon that actually going to be in the Coliseum.
Now, when does the Blues Clues show?
Blues Clues is October 5.
Okay.
It goes on sale this Friday. And again, the auditorium is it's a tough building. It's a tough building to do shows in. It's ancient. Right. Built in 38, 39. It's not really built for today's business for the most part, but we make it work. But there's a strong family show market here.
And that was one of the first conversations that we had with OVG when we contracted them to come in as the management firm for the Coliseum and Convention Center and Municipal Auditorium. What do you do with the MA? What do you do with the Municipal Auditorium? And, you know, to his credit, Patrick and his team, they came in with a plan, and they've worked the plan, and that building is producing revenue that, you know, in the 10 years I've been in Charleston, it's never produced that kind of revenue. And so, Patrick and his team, they're showing that there is a market for shows that size that fit very nicely into the Municipal Auditorium.
I had a texter that said, what are the price points for the Reba tickets? Do we know that yet? Or is that
They start at $47.75. So okay. They start at $47.75. I don't know why. Used to be 99 cents was the...
Yeah. Yeah.
We're all going for the odd numbers now.
It's easy for the quarter. Nobody wants to deal with pennies.
But tickets for that show are going to go on sale this Friday.
This Friday.
And Patrick, I appreciate you you being here,
with
man.
Terry Clark.
Oh, Terry Clark's
Terry
going to be
there. Terry Clark is opening that for Medicine Hat, Alberta. And if you've never been, it's a fun little town.
I've actually seen, I've not been to Alberta, but I have seen Terry Clark in concert.
Yes,
she's fantastic.
Got a lot of hits, too.
Patrick, thanks a lot. Tim, we didn't even get to talk about TBT. Quick dates on
July
TBT.
24th to the 27th. Tickets still on sale. Going to be great basketball inside the Coliseum.
And we'll have you on well before
Sounds
then
great.
To talk about it. Quick note from RX Vitale. If you're not satisfied with your current pharmacy, check out RX Vitale in Charleston's West Side. They are one of our sponsors for 580 Live. Hey, guys, thanks a lot. Also, Matthew Sutton as well, our producer, Caitlin Murphy. Thank you so much as well. Hoppy of the news coming up. Follow the news of the day, WCHSnetwork.com. And we'll see you tomorrow. Hoppy of the news coming up. Till tomorrow, have fun and love somebody.
WCHSAM, W243DRFM Charleston, and W283AQ Cross Lanes, a WVRC media station. We're proud to live here too.